Alright, so I was kind of struggling with what kind of subject I would be talking about for this installment of Tark's Musical Rambles. But this is gonna be the whatever edition of it because I know I've already talked about my favorite groups, my favorite songs, favorite this, favorite that. But no, I'm just gonna just say, fuck it. It's the whatever, fuck it edition. I'll talk about whatever I want, so you better come stop me. I sound so ridiculous. Oh my god. Anyway, don't get too GWA now. So anyway, yeah, I'm gonna talk about some of my favorite musical stuff. And due to drinking a lot of Pepsi Max, oh what a surprise, Tark. Tark drinks Pepsi Max? Oh no! Anyway, oh my god. I am trying not to suffer a ginseng crash because that kind of happens like one or two times. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I gotta stop tiptoeing through the subject again. Anyway. See, this is what happens when you drink a lot of ginseng and you drink a lot of caffeine and you don't know where the fuck you're getting at. Eek. So yeah, I'm just gonna talk about whatever I want that's music related. Anyway, so you know that there have been some songs that I have discovered that were just off the wall amazing. And I found this song, about, let's see, about a year or 2 years ago, maybe. And you know how much I love Rush. I love Rush. Like crazy. And, but there was this one song I didn't really give a second thought to listening to. And I just thought, well, why not? Let's just listen to something that, 'cause I've heard so many countless stuff about Cygnus X1, the first part that is from A Farewell to Kings. And this part is called The Voyage. And I've heard so many things about that song. Oh, that song is so freaky. It is so awesome. It is scary as fuck. But no, I've listened to it and I can see what they mean. It's all of those adjectives. Freaky, awesome, and scary as fuck. Why? Because it's a song about a star, not a star, but it's about a space traveler being sucked into a black hole that is known as Cygnus X1. And I mean, he's going about in his starship that is called the Rocinante, which is named after, it was named after a horse in, Don Quixote. Don Quixote. Don Quixote. Yeah, and it was named the Rocinante. Literary reference, what up? yeah, I know a lot of literary stuff from a lot of music, so yeah, but primarily progressive rock. How would I not get into this poem Kubla Khan if it wasn't for Rush and the song Xanadu? I mean, come on. Anyway. So Cygnus X1, The Voyage, it's about this space traveler being sucked into a a black hole, and the ending really does it for me, because you get Geddy Lee, as typical as Geddy is, he's screaming his freaking lungs out, because he's being sucked into a black hole. Oops, nope. No, we're not gonna play Styx. I didn't want to play Styx, though. I'm gonna play Rush. So there was this part where he's like spinning, whirling, something, something. What? Now this is the part that scared me. Really, it sounded like his every nerve was torn apart. Says the song itself. But, he's going, the narrator in this song is going through this black hole, and he's just recalling how he feels. And he's just going through, it's like he's experiencing pain and pleasure the same time. So what you heard right there was like screams of pain and pleasure, because he's going through this black hole. Every nerve is torn apart, which is basically what it feels like to go through a black hole, apparently. And then you got this the second part of Cygnus X1, and it's off their album that quickly follows after Farewell Kings, and this one's from Hemispheres. Aha. And I have never mentioned this enough. These guys are awesome. Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, Neil Peart, all of them are awesome. I mean, Neil Peart has got to be one of the best drummers ever. They're right up there. He's right up there with Keith Moon. And Bill Bruford and Alan White from Yes. Speaking of The Who and Yes, I was just thinking about this song I heard from Bellboy. I mean, not from Bell. It's the name of the song, Bellboy, but it's from this album called Quadrophenia by The Who. And when I heard... Now, before I even heard of this album, I was about, 6 or 7 when I heard of Quadrophenia. And the only songs I knew from that album were 515 and Love Rain Or Me. Those were the only two songs I know. Because I watched this concert... That my all-time favorite concert was Roger Daltrey at Carnegie Hall with the Juilliard Orchestra. Oh God, that is the best. Like I said before, like a million times before, I preached this. If you have not seen it, go check it out. That concert is awesome. Anyway, so this song from Quadrophenia. First time I've heard it, I knew it was Love at First Sight, but whenever Moon the Loon comes in, he has me rolling, laughing all over the floor. Yeah, so this is Bellboy. I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about right here. Bellboy. Yeah. So, first time I heard that, I laughed my frickin' ass off. Just listening to this. And whenever Keith Moon came in, he's like, "Oh, I got a good job, and I'm nearly bored. You should see me dressed up in my uniform." I can't do that accent. I can't do a gruff English accent. It just makes me sound like I'm Australian. Which is terrible. Because Keith Moon is not Australian. He is English! Damn it. I don't know. When I was little, I used to laugh at everything. And that was one of the things I laughed at. And I still do, because, I mean, he's portraying the bellhopper, and that bellhopper sounds drunk as fuck. So is Keith Moon. But, you know, that's just Keith Moon. He just lives the lifestyle of a rock star, and he just sounds drunk no matter what. Anyway, so, Bellboy has ever since been my favorite song from Quadrophenia, along with 515 and Love Rena. There's a lot of good songs off that album. I could name Dr. Jimmy. Dr. Jimmy. I love that song. Especially that line. Her fella's gonna kill me. Oh, fucking will he. I love that part so much. It's like, ah, oh, fucking will he. Yeah, right. He's gonna kill me. Yeah, right. Not if I kill him first. Anyway, well, that's what it sounds like to me. I am so random. I am so sorry. But it's just because every time, whenever we play Quadrophenia in the car, so my dad loves that. That is his most favorite Who album ever. Quadrophenia is. Whenever that song Bellboy comes on, and whenever I get the urge to do that imitation, oh, I got a good job, and I'm nearly born. Every time I do that, my dad would have to pull over in the car. He would have to pull over and just regain his composure because he's been laughing so hard because I've been trying to, like, imitate his accent and everything. And he is just... He's laughing so hard, and I just can't help but laugh with him. It's just... moments like that, you know? That was when I was younger. And it still happens every time. He still gets the laughs every time I try and do that accent. And I can't do it that well. Well, I mean, I could do it now, but not like... Oh, I got a good job, and I'm nearly bought. It just sounds like Australian. Goes from an English accent all the way to Australian. I'm like, what the fuck? Ah! Anyway, so yeah. And I think, as sacrilege as this is, I think I love Quadrophenia more than I do Tommy. No, Tark, don't say that. Well, I just did. I'm just saying. I'm just putting my two cents in. I'm just putting my two cents in, that's all. I mean, Pete Townshend has outdone himself on Tommy, but he's outdone himself even more with Quadrophenia. Now that is a huge achievement. I mean, and you would have wondered what he would do with that Lifehouse project he did, but he turned it into Who's Next. That's what became Who's Next. So, what you hear in, Pure and Easy, that song from, Pete Townshend's, first album, Who Came First, was, Pure and Easy. There was this part which the song is over. If you listen to that song, the song is over on Who's Next, you know where it came from. It came from Pure and Easy. Such a long note, pure and easy, playing so free like a breath rippling by. That's just... yeah, but it would have become Lifehouse, but I think he just put that on the back burner and just did something else with Quadrophenia, and look where it got to now. It's just a masterpiece along with Tommy and Who's Next, and the Who By Numbers, and all that kind of stuff, you know, just, Tommy, yeah, all of those albums, they're amazing. The Who is amazing. It's no wonder I love them so much, but anyway, I digress. Anyway, and then there's this band that I had no clue existed. That was when I was young. I was about 3 or 4, and I did not know that this band existed ever. And so, yes, yeah, and, yeah, I'm talking about Yes. And the first song of theirs I've ever heard was, no, it wasn't Owner of a Lonely Heart. Because that was when they played less of that back then, and they just played more of the classic stuff. You know, you got, like, Steve Howe and Bill Bruford and all them. Yeah. And, no, the first song I've ever heard by Yes was when I was 3 years old, 3 or 4, and we were just going home from my grandparents up in Alabama. And we, and this song suddenly pops on the radio, and I just cannot help but just lift my sleepy little head up and listen. And this is the song.
Seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Oh yeah.
Seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Now I am wondering what kind of guitar is that. It's not a lute. It's not a mandolin. Good God, no, it's not a mandolin. I know that. That doesn't sound like a mandolin.
Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the white queen run so fast.
But it sounds good, though. Oh, and I love John Anderson's voice so much. Oh, it sends my heart a flutter every time.
Time with your time and his news is captured for the queen to use.
Yeah, so that was my favorite song, but the first time I heard it, I did not get the ending. I had, what the fuck is that ending? Why are you going down the scales every time you, I don't get it. That's the ending. I was just confused about it. Why the heck are they singing like that? Why are they going down every time? What? I had to ask my parents, what the hell is going on? I don't feel comfortable listening to this. What?
I just thought it, and I was just like, Mom? Dad? What is that?
I'm scared. Probably because of how loud the organ is and how the scales went down. I was a very sensitive child back then. I got scared too easy. Yeah, but anyway. But no, I love that song. I love that song ever since. But I wasn't entirely into Yes that time, but when I got a little bit older, let's say when I was just starting high school, I got more into Yes because me and my dad, we went to Gatlinburg. We went to Pigeon Forge up in Tennessee for a road trip. And we stopped by this music store, and there I saw one of the best albums ever by Yes, Fragile. Fragile, I'm telling you, that is one of the, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Because I looked at the cover, okay, you got this Roger Dean artwork right here. You got this artwork right here done by Roger Dean. And there's this picture of the Earth, and you got this weird flying glider thing just flying around that, and you just have to wonder, well, how good is this album gonna be? I mean, I already knew the first song off that album, which was Roundabout. I already knew that song. But once I heard Heart of the Sunrise, the very last track of that album, I was awestruck. I was in
love that song.
I mean, that song, to me, it's in the same vein as 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson. Because it has its moments where it goes completely ballistic. And then it has its moments where it's completely calm and relaxing. And you just don't question anything. Until the craziness comes right back. So. It's just been one of my favorite songs every time. And how can you not sing along to that part where John was like, sharp distance, deep. How can the wind whistle man around me? Or however it went. That has become one of my favorite albums ever. Fragile has. And another one of the songs that quickly became my favorite was South Side of the Sky. Because you gotta love that interlude. That interlude right in the middle of the song, where they were singing la 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 la. I don't know what to sing anymore. And I just loved it. I loved it because it was about these. I mean, who doesn't love a song about these hikers going up a mountain in a roaring snowstorm and they die at the end? That is just a happy song right there. A really happy song about three men just climbing up a mountain in a snowstorm and they end up freezing to death. How wonderful is that? No, that is not wonderful at all. But still, it's a interesting concept. Yeah. Well, I mean, who doesn't love that? I don't have it interesting. Anyway, and then there's this band that you've heard me harping on about them for at least a month, and I bet you all are tired of it, but guess what? I'm not sorry. So, yeah, I am going to talk about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Eagles and how awesome they are. And they're, like I mentioned before in the previous episode of Talk to Musical Rambles, I mentioned how they were one of the groups that got me into paying more attention to the harmonies, got me loving them. I mean, they are remarkable. Harmonies are remarkable. Their instrumentation is on the spot. Perfect. And it's just, I never thought I would like country music in anything, let alone like country music and rock music. I thought, no, that does not go together well. I didn't even have a second thought about it. I just listened to the Eagles. The first time I ever listened to the Eagles, when I was just a mere tot when I was little, and my dad was playing the Hell Freezes Over concert. That was when they came back from their quote-unquote 14-year vacation. And that was right after they split up after recording The Long Run. After that one incident, lovingly known as Long Night at Wrong Beach, where they had that concert up in Long Beach, and Don Felder and Glenn Frey, they were just verbally attacking each other during the whole time in the concert. Like, I'm gonna fucking kick your ass after this gig is over. And then he just goes off and smashes the guitar, and he goes off in his limo, and Don Felder did anyway. Yeah, so, yeah. That was what was lovingly known as Long Night at Wrong Beach. Yeah. And then there was this one point where Don Henley was asked when the band was going to get together when Hell Freezes Over. And so Hell Froze Over. And that's the name of the concert. Hell Freezes Over. they got back together. And that's what made me love the Eagles, is because of their ability to harmonize with each other. They clearly love performing. I think so, anyway. But their earlier stuff, though, woof! Gotta be the best. Even before Hotel California. That was real good. Oh, but you know who I'm digging right now? I mean, Glenn Frey is awesome, Don Henley is awesome, Joe Walsh, Don Felder, they're awesome, all awesome, Bernie Leadon, yeah, but there's this one, their former bass player, who I have a huge crush on. His name is Randy Meisner. Now, you've heard me talk about him quite a bit, because, damn, not only he can play that bass, he can sing like an, he can sing like a frickin' angel! He can! Oh my god! Because there's this one song I've heard, and it was during watching this documentary called, The History of the Eagles. And this is one where Randy Meisner sang lead on, and this is from Desperado. This is a song called Certain Kind of Fool. This is so good. Now really listen. He's got a voice of an angel. God, yes.
He was a poor boy, raised in a small family. He kinda had a craving for something no one else could see.
Yeah, but that doesn't even compare. That doesn't even compare to the vocals he did on Take It to the Limit. And that was during that time where I first heard the Eagles and I knew who they were, who all of them were, but there was this one guy I did not know who was singing on Take It to the Limit. Okay, it's not Glenn Frey, and it's not Don Henley. So, who is that guy? He is the guy who sung high on each harmonies ever. You can hear it prominently in Witchy Woman. You can, in any song they do. Well, before he left. And then I found out, ooh, that's Randy Meisner? Is that his name? Yeah, that is his name. Randy Meisner. That voice of an angel. That boy can hit those high notes like nobody's damn business. Fuck yeah. It was just like... And there was this one point where... It was during that time where I was about 10 or 11 and I saw that concert they did when Hotel California was out. And they were promoting it. And when they did Take It to the Limit, oh, damn. That is where my heart just could not help beating like crazy. Because there is my dream man just singing my favorite song. Oh, God. Anyway, no. It was just one of those songs, it's like... You're just amazed at how good their voice sounds when they sing that song. And then when it's towards the end,
that moment where he does that high note at the end. You know the one. My favorite one ever is when he did that high note at the end of the song. Just like, that thing. I'm like, you gotta listen to it. It's just that the resonance in that high note and the way the clarity in it is just so remarkably outstanding, and just but you know, he was just tired of singing that song. You couldn't really tell, but he was, and I don't think that's why he left. He's just so tired of singing that song, and he was just afraid that he couldn't hit the high notes as well as he could. But you know, every single fucking time, he aces the high notes. I mean, I'm one of those people who doesn't get why. Okay, how come you're so scared of hitting that certain high note when you know, when we all know you're gonna ace that motherfucker? So you gotta prove yourself wrong. And I mean, that's why I love Randy Meisner. That's why I love Randy. He is just amazing. Crazy. Crazy amazing. As well as the other guys in the group. Oh, God. Don Felder, Joe Walsh, Brady Leadon, and Timothy Bitch. B. Schmidt! Timothy B. Schmidt. Fuck me. Damn it. I don't even know how long I recorded this, but anyway. And recently, I just got my sister into listening to the Beatles. Not the Beatles, but the Eagles. The Eagles are kind of like the country version of the Beatles, okay? Let's just put it that way. Anyway. No, not really. But her favorite song right now is Those Shoes. Or what she lovingly bestows as the Butt Out song. Because of the talk box guitar thing in the middle and the end of it is like butt out, butt out, butt out, butt out, bop, bong, butt out. Butt out. Yeah. I love that part. And she loves it too, and she calls it... We had this argument at one time. It was just a lighthearted argument. Okay, so, are you gonna do... Hey, play the butt out song. Play butt out. I'm like, no. It's called Those Shoes. No, it's called Butt Out. No, it's called Those Shoes, Kirsten. No, it said butt out in the middle of the song, so that's called that. Because it says it right there. Butt out. Butt out. Butt out. Butt out. And I'm like, no, Kirsten. Look, I can show you the title. It's called Those Shoes. And she's like, oh. Well, I'm going to call it the butt out song anyway. Yeah, and whenever the butt outs come, she's like, come on, sissy, do the butt outs with me, please. So yeah, she gets really excited when that part comes on, those shoes. And, yeah. Oh, she is just a cutie. But anyway, yeah, I think I've rambled for, oh my god, 34 freaking minutes! Damn, Tar, do you not have a limit on when you shut up? No, I don't. And that is a Pepsi Max's fault, and that's my own mouth's fault. Anyway, yeah, I sound fucked up. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry for all the swearing, sorry for all the random squeaks, and the laughs, and the No, I'm sorry for that, too. Not. Anyway, so, yeah. I hope you enjoy it, and toodaloo!